Only you, Lord, can answer my heart's cry. All of us will go through times of pressure, tension. Sometimes it might just be something that's quite superficial and it's easily dealt with, and we breeze through it. Other times it's more like being crushed. And our heart's cry is there. And we're not sure how to go through it or get through it, or even if we will get through it. So my question this morning to myself and to each of us is simply, where do you go, or what do you do when you are really, really under pressure? Now again, not something that's passing, not something that's just fairly superficial, but real pressure, real tension. Where do you go? What do you do? It could be a place. Maybe you head to the hills, maybe you're down onto the beach, and that's where you just find that space that you need. It could be a state of mind. When you just feel under so much pressure that you simply close down. You don't want to connect with anybody or anything. You just close down. Jeremiah lived under constant pressure. And again, it wasn't sort of the pressure of a few moments. It was constant for Jeremiah. He was called by God. He was given a task of declaring God's word to people who wouldn't listen. And he tried. And those that did hear didn't listen properly. In fact, they objected to what Jeremiah was saying. And Jeremiah is caught in this tension of wanting to be obedient to what God has called him to be and do, and yet suffering the abuse of folks around him. Religious and political leaders who strongly objected to what Jeremiah was saying. Strongly objected to the fact that this man said he was declaring God's word. And Jeremiah ends up lonely, hurt, and angry. And as you read through this little passage which Hope read for us a few moments ago, you get something of this heart cry from Jeremiah. And it's interesting. Where does Jeremiah go? Jeremiah goes to pray. We're not told whether he goes to the hills or the beach. Jeremiah turns to God. There are passages all the way through this book of Jeremiah that are little autobiographical glimpses of the struggle that this man goes through, seeking to be obedient with God. He opens his heart. He lets us see what's going on inside him. He turns to God. He struggles with this, but it's interesting. Jeremiah doesn't struggle with, hang on a minute, if this is the God who is good, if this is the God who loves me, if this is the God who cares for me, if this is the God who is working out his purposes, and I'm being obedient to him, how come I'm suffering so much? He doesn't go at it from that angle. He has those questions in his head, but he goes at it from a totally different angle because he remembers who God is. Verse 15 of this chapter 15 simply reminds us, this is the God who understands, this is the God who remembers, this is the God who cares. Jeremiah has these things in his head and says, well, Lord, if these are the things that are true about you, come and help me. Come and help me. He doesn't run away from God. He runs to God. Sometimes when we think about prayer, we think about it as being a very gentle, soothing, peaceful thing to do. We pray together. And it's a very respectable, calm thing. And that's often the case, but it's not always the case. And here it is with Jeremiah. This man is scared. He is lonely. He is angry. Life for Jeremiah is just one long battle. And he tells God. It's not nice. It's not calm. It's not peaceful. But it is honest. He runs to God and he asks the same question, how can this happen? But he asks the question in the knowledge that this is God. This is what I believe about you, God. And my struggle, God, is believing that and then experiencing all that I'm going through. But that verse 15 of this chapter, the God who understands, the God who remembers, the God who cares, is so important for Jeremiah. He holds on to this. How else would he keep going? How else would he put up with this constant battle day after day if he didn't really believe in this God who was holding him there? And yet he's honest and real about his struggles. It is important for us to know what we really, really, really believe about God. The children, when Heather was talking, with God's word helps us understand who God really is. Sometimes we have our own ideas. And we speculate, we talk, we discuss, and we say things like, I like to think of God as being da da da, and on we go. I like to think of God as. And sometimes that's helpful. But sometimes also it diverts us from seeing who God really is. Jeremiah wasn't interested in what other people thought about God. He just wanted to know God. To trust in this God who understands, remembers, and cares. So it is important that we know what we really believe about God. When the pressure's on, what do you really believe about God? That somehow he has abandoned you? Somehow he has forgotten about you? He doesn't care for you anymore? Somehow he doesn't really understand what you're going through? Jeremiah struggled, but he never struggled with understanding who and what God is. Jeremiah doesn't like where he is. He's in anguish. You can read various bits through that. Verse 10 of that chapter 15, "Alas, my mother, that you gave me birth, a man with whom the whole land strives and contends." Anguish behind that. Why is my pain unending? My wound grievous and incurable? The anguish. He doesn't like where he is, but he runs to God with this lament, with this song of sorrow, with this song of mourning. And sometimes we think the Bible is just full of happy, peaceful, rejoicing passages. And thankfully, there are many, many, many of those. But there are also, all through Scripture, these examples of laments, songs of sorrow, songs of mourning, heart cries that go out to God. Just after Jeremiah in the Old Testament, there's a book of Lamentation. Jeremiah predicts that God is going to judge the nation, and that the Babylonians will sweep in, destroy Jerusalem, take the nation into exile. Lamentations is the lament, the song of sorrow when it actually happens. It's a sorrow over the destruction of Jerusalem. It's a mourning over the exile of God's people into Babylonia. And it starts with these words. If you were to turn to Lamentations chapter 1, you'd read these. "See, O Lord, how distressed I am. I'm in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed." The anguish, the heart cry. But as you move on through that book of Lamentations, you discover that people aren't fixated on that heart cry. They recognize it, it's a reality, but they don't focus there. Their focus is upon God. And as you read through Lamentation, you discover they go back to discover things about God. He is the Lord of hope. He is the Lord of love. He is the Lord of faithfulness. He is the Lord of salvation. and they hold on to these things. In spite of all that they have been through, the people of God, as their beloved Jerusalem is destroyed, as their nation is carried away into exile, they still say this: His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They remember who their God is. Lament is being honest before God. And that's where Jeremiah is. I sat alone because your hand was on me. Why is my pain unending? My wounds grievous and incurable. And he's angry. Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? And the picture there is of one of these wadis in the Middle East, which during the rainy season is filled with water thundering down. But when you need it most, in the heat of summer, it's gone. Just a dry riverbed. Is that what you'll be like, God? And yet, earlier on, chapter 3, Jeremiah has said that God will be like a spring of living water. He knows what God is like, and he holds on to that. But he knows, too, that God is big enough to hear his cry and to answer his cry. Sometimes we think, well, it's not proper. It's not nice. It's not right to tell God how you feel. Of course it is. Of course it is. One of the reasons why these laments are included in Scripture, because they encourage us to bring our heart's cry to God. The God who understands, remembers, and cares. The Psalms are many Psalms of lament. Jesus was to pick up on one of those Psalms as he hangs on the cross, as he feels the pain, not just of the physical agony of the cross, but of separation from his heavenly Father. And he cries out with one of the Psalms of lament, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? The cry of the heart brought to the God who understands, remembers, and cares. You feeling lonely? Hurt? Angry? They're not new feelings by any means. Bring it to God. Pray it to God, the God who understands, remembers, and cares for you. Don't be afraid to let God hear the cry of your heart. God understands. He remembers. He cares. And it's interesting that as we bring that cry of our heart, God helps us reset our priorities, helps us see where we are and who we are. Again, as Jesus wrestles with all that lies ahead of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus wrestles knowing full well what lies ahead of him, but resets his priorities. Not my will. Not my will, but yours be done. Jeremiah, facing all of this hassle, all of this pressure, all of this battle day by day, could understandably have said, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going to retire. I'm going to move to Port Stewart, play golf. I've had enough. And we would have understood. But he doesn't. He brings his heart's cry to God, and God helps him to reset his priorities. God helps him to set his focus once more. Prayer is about helping us reset those priorities. It's not so much about learning something new. Sometimes you hear people say, Lord, show me something new of your love. Give me a fresh understanding. Give me something new. Often in prayer, the most important thing is not something new, but being reminded of what we already know about God. God doesn't give Jeremiah any new revelation, any new understanding. God simply reminds him of what he already knows. that he's the God who understands, remembers, and cares. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of what we already know. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of truths that we already know. There's this cry of the heart from Jeremiah. There's this focus upon the God who still has his hand upon him. And towards the end of this chapter, we move towards this hope. This God who will restore. This God who will rescue. This God who will save. This God who will redeem in the midst of all the mayhem that's going on. This God who understands, remembers, and cares is the God who will rescue, restore, and redeem, put it back together again. There is hope. Sometimes our own anguish gets to the stage where we think there is no hope. There's no future. There's no reason to go on. And we get caught up in all that's going on in our own lives. And that's why it's important to go back to God. Remember who he is. Remember what he has called us to be and to do in Jesus Christ. And there to find our hope. The God who understands, remembers, and cares. The God who gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It starts with the cry of the heart, but it ends with hope in this God who understands, remembers, and cares. Gravesites are always a difficult place, always a difficult time. But I love to read at the graveside from Revelation 21. Because there is definite anguish there. There are heartfelt cries going out to God. But this Revelation 21 points us to that unshakable hope we have in Jesus Christ. And these are the words, "For I find great hope at a graveside. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." A cry of the heart, remembering the God who understands, remembers, and cares, and in him, finding unshakable hope. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that even before we speak the words, you know the cry of our hearts. You understand us. And so forgive us, Lord, that we can run around looking for comfort and hope in so many different places, but we are slow. We are slow to turn to you, the one whose compassions fail not. Lord, in these days, by your Spirit, through your word, remind us of who you are. And then lead us to the Savior, we pray. That in him we may find not only life eternal, but a hope which does not fail. And this we pray in his name. Amen.